Your city and state may have a rainy day budget, but it may not be ready for the deluge of the coronavirus pandemic.
Cities and states both have generally been socking away more money with the expectation that there'd be a downturn in the economy. No one foresaw this exactly.
Plus, investors sell just about everything. We'll explain the mad dash to cash out and how governments and central banks are trying to stop a stampede. It's Thursday, March 19th. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News. President Trump has signed into law a paid leave bill passed by the Senate. Congress now turns to work on a stimulus package. The Trump administration is proposing a $1 trillion package, which includes spending to fight the pandemic, aid for airlines, and direct payments to American households. We're reporting that the administration is proposing two rounds of payments in April and May, with the size of the check based on family size and income. Some lawmakers have suggested $1,000 a person, maybe more. A Democratic plan prioritizes expanding unemployment insurance and stopping evictions and foreclosures. President Trump has invoked the Defense Production Act, a Korean War-era measure that gives the president powers to require and incentivize businesses to produce goods tied to national defense. Meeting with health workers, he leaned into wartime imagery.
I welcome the great nurses of our country to the White House and express our gratitude for those on the front lines in our war against the global pandemic. And it's been something, but we're winning and we will win. It's a question of when, and I think it's going to go quickly. We hope it's going to go quickly. I think we all agree.
Infections are now around 215,000 globally, with more than 8,700 deaths. Chinese health authorities now say that for the first time, they're reporting no new domestic cases of coronavirus. There were new cases confirmed there yesterday, but they're classified as coming from overseas arrivals. The New York Stock Exchange will temporarily close its trading floor and shift to all electronic trading effective Monday. This after two people who work there tested positive for coronavirus. The big three U.S. automakers are temporarily shutting down factories in North America. A stoppage of this kind is unprecedented, affecting hundreds of thousands of factory workers, not to mention small businesses in those communities. Honda and Toyota are also closing North American factories for now, and Harley-Davidson is suspending production. U.S. workers in a wide range of industries are feeling the economic impact of the coronavirus. Layoffs following business slowdowns and closures are triggering an onslaught of jobless claims, says our economics reporter, Sarah Cheney.
We spoke to several state labor departments this week who said they saw a surge in claims tied to the pandemic.
States are reporting 10 to 20 times the usual filings. Ohio had nearly 80,000 people file for benefits, compared to just 3,000 the week before. We'll talk about all the new burdens state and city governments face in the pandemic after a very quick break. State and city governments are bracing for the punishing financial hit of the coronavirus pandemic. The problem is they don't know how deep their budgetary hole will be. Charlie Turner spoke with our reporter, Scott Calvert.
Scott, describe the magnitude of the coronavirus's impact on city and state budgets. What are they contending with exactly?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a double whammy for sure, because on the one hand, they know that they are going to have to spend a lot more money as part of the coronavirus response, and that can take a lot of different forms. It can certainly be helping, you know, the public health system and ensuring their hospital beds and things like that, supplies, overtime, but also dealing with unemployment insurance because of all the people who are now not working. And then on the other side, they know that they're in for a big revenue hit because obviously people aren't going to restaurants and bars and those sorts of things. So sales tax is going to fall. A lot of states rely on income tax to a large extent and capital gains taxes and things like that. And so the stock market's cratering is affecting that. You've got some states that are pretty dependent on oil, and you know, oil is way down. So there are a myriad of ways that they are going to be affected, again, both on the revenue side and the spending side.
Tell us what certain states and municipalities are doing to try to free up money to fight coronavirus.
So in Minnesota, they've approved more than $220 million so far in two different installments. In Washington State, something similar, it's about $200 million out there. And again, this is for all sorts of things related to the coronavirus response. I mean, in Minnesota, for example, you know, they're talking about essentially creating, you know, temporary sites for testing services and treatment beds, staff overtime, supplies, all kinds of things. And then you have in the city of Philadelphia, for instance, they are looking to free up about $85 million, some of which could be used to pay for these feeding sites that they've had to set up around the city so that school children who normally eat at schools can eat. So it's a whole range of things.
Well, how prepared are states and cities? For example, I'm thinking of tourist areas like Florida and Las Vegas. I mean, they're going to take a terrible hit, and even more so if they're not prepared. Are they prepared?
You know, the good news is that cities and states both have generally been socking away more money with the expectation that there'd be a downturn in the economy. No one foresaw this exactly, but they've been preparing and sort of squirreling away money. In fact, the Pew Charitable Trust put out a report saying that collectively states have a bigger collective rainy day cushion now, or they did last year, than at any time in more than 20 years. So that's a good thing. But on the other hand, as we've been saying, you know, this is an unprecedented situation, and I don't think anybody is saying that those cushions, you know, will necessarily be enough over the long haul. I should also point out that, you know, that some cities have already started to really try to pull back spending. And in some cases, they're getting ready to cut spending because they know that there's some pain coming. And in New Orleans, for example, they said that spending might have to be cut by 30%. And they're talking about layoffs and service reductions and closing libraries. But it doesn't matter what, you know, a particular city or state's exposure is, whether it's, you know, tourism-related revenue or oil. Everybody's going to feel a lot of pain.
Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Thanks, Charlie.
Coming up, how a volatile time on Wall Street may be even stranger than you think. Markets dropped sharply yesterday. You may think that sounds like something you've heard a lot lately, but yesterday on Wall Street was something very, very different. Often when things get rough, investors sell stocks and buy bonds. If they get rougher, maybe they buy gold. But yesterday, stocks dropped, bonds dropped, even gold dropped. Everybody wanted to cash out of just about everything. Our markets reporter Joe Wallace explains.
The sell-off yesterday really seemed to take this market decline into a new phase. Everything fell, and this seems to be for a few reasons. Firstly, investors really are putting their trust only in the shortest term government bonds or cash because they're really worried about the impact of the pandemic on the world economy. You know, we've seen layoffs rise in the US already. And secondly, I mean, companies need cash to tide themselves over for the next few months. They don't know if they'll be able to open for business. They don't know how they're going to pay their staff. People need to pay rent. So in that kind of situation, there's really a premium on having cash to hand.
One investor we spoke to called the trading the capital markets equivalent of hoarding toilet paper. And in that kind of environment, both the Fed and European Central Bank saw the need to take new action. Here's Joe on that.
The European Central Bank unveiled a new 750 billion euro bond buying program. And this is really aimed at shielding the Eurozone economy from the virus. Obviously, Europe is now the center of the virus. The WHO has said that. And that's led to a big rise in borrowing costs for Italy and Greece and Spain in recent days. And the promise by the ECB to buy hundreds of billions worth of new bonds has seemed to have an impact this morning. Bond yields have fallen in places like Italy. So that does seem to have had the desired effect. So the ECB's move came after the Fed launched yet another facility designed to ease some of the market disruptions. It launched what it's calling the Money Market Mutual Fund Liquidity Facility. And these money market mutual funds have come under a lot of strain in recent days.
And finally, there's an unusual offer on the table in Britain. Get paid $3,500 to be infected. A research lab working on a coronavirus vaccine needs volunteers willing to be infected with tamer relatives of the virus. Our reporter, Denise Rowland, is on the story.
So this group, they're called HVivo, they do these sorts of things for the flu, for the common cold, for other sort of respiratory viruses. And now they're offering a coronavirus challenge test, which uses not COVID-19, but related coronaviruses to see how your body reacts to other members of the coronavirus family that are known to cause only mild symptoms. There have been many takers. They have now had more than 20,000 volunteers in the last 10 days or so. So they started publicising this about 10 days ago. They've had an absolute stampede of sign-ups. And, well, they don't know what people's reasons are, but I think they like to think it's a mix of, you know, the financial gain and genuine altruism.
They say the urgency of the pandemic is why they're doing the study this way. Typically, trials are done by giving an experimental vaccine to thousands of people and tracking them for months, even years. Volunteers willing to be infected will be kept in isolation to mitigate the risk of spreading the disease. And that is What's News for this morning. We'll be back with another updated podcast this evening, and you can visit WSJ.com throughout the day for full coverage of the pandemic and many other stories.